Well, did you know the Vatican had an observatory and that it's located in a part of the world which at first glance may not seem to have any obvious connection with the Vatican, a remote area of the US state of Arizona? What's more, on top of a mountain, as experts in the field of astronomy have known for decades, it's Mount Graham, the highest peak in the south of the state, dubbed sacred by some, on top of which the Vatican has perched a sophisticated telescope, thus establishing a research base that, for record's sake, moved out there from Castel Gandolfo in the hills southeast of Vatican City after light pollution began to hamper stargazing in the Rome area not so very long ago. A research base manned, as we speak, by a dozen or so scientists, most of whom Jesuits, who each day go on their daily rounds engaging in advanced astrophysics, cosmology, and galactic and extragalactic research. My colleague Susie Hodges was curious to find out more and got in touch with the deputy director of this Arizona observatory, Jesuit Father Chris Corbally, asking him all about this little-known outpost of the Vatican on American soil. Just listen.
Some people know us very well, and those are the friends who have been helping very much in building our new telescope out here in Arizona. Now, I suppose it's 13 years old coming up. So it's not so new, but it's still very active. Those who support us in that know us very well. Other people, yes, there's quite a surprise that the Vatican has such a scientific presence in the United States.
And why did the Vatican go about finding such a site in Arizona? It was to do with the pollution, the light pollution, wasn't it, in Castel Gandolfo outside Rome?
Yes, it was the increasing amount of light up in the night sky at Castel Gandolfo that brought us to Arizona. Just as in 1935, the increasing amount of light in Rome brought us from the hill in Vatican City out to Castel Gandolfo. So it's a kind of a regular process. But initially, we didn't come to build a telescope here. We came to relocate people to have access to the telescopes that were already here in Arizona.
The Vatican, as you mentioned, does have its own telescope. Tell us something about it. Is it or was it a state-of-the-art one?
Well, our telescope was an afterthought. We first moved people and established a second research base. That's in 1980. And then because of our presence here and because of the University of Arizona's interest and project to build giant new telescopes, then we were offered the mirror, which is the heart of the telescope that we currently have.
And how powerful is it?
Well, if you had it in your backyard, it would be very powerful indeed. But in astronomy terms, professional astronomy terms nowadays, it's a very moderate size. It is 1.8 meters in diameter for its primary or a main mirror, but that makes it a wonderful workhorse so that one can get a lot of time on the telescope and do a lot of survey and monitoring kind of projects.
Is it true that some Native Americans from the Apache tribe objected to Mount Graham being used as a site for stargazing because they consider the mountain sacred? Is this still a sore point?
There was objection. The first objections were environmentalists saying that we were going to destroy the habitat of the Mount Graham red squirrel, which is a subspecies of red squirrel. When that became clearly not an issue, then some local Apaches, I have to emphasize, were encouraged to find opposition to our presence. Some of that opposition continues today because all mountains are sacred to Native Americans. And obviously some mountains are more sacred than others, and Mount Graham is the tallest one in the region. But it's sacred to some and not to others.
So there's not a lot of ill feeling still?
There is some ill feeling, yes. On the other hand, I have been up on the mountain with a group of Apaches, among whom was an elder, so one of the leaders of the people. And she was very appreciative of the presence of telescopes up on that mountain, which she used for her own, you know, sacred rituals. So I found there is not a uniform approach among the Apaches. Like many people, there are differences of opinion. And yet when they speak out, then they need to speak in a uniform way. So one sometimes gets the wrong impression by listening, you know, as it were, to the official viewpoint. When one talks to them, there is a variety of viewpoints.
Now, when it comes to the astronomers working there at the Vatican Observatory in Arizona, are they all working on slightly different projects, or are they all contributing to one grand one, as it were?
The old style of an observatory was there was one grand project that was the pet project of the director, and all the minions, the staff, help with that project. That's not been true of an observatory for quite a long time. So yes, all the members of the Vatican Observatory staff have different expertises and interests and different groups of collaborators, so all kinds of projects that we are pursuing there.
And can you give us a very brief example in layman terms of one of them?
One person, Father Jose Funes, whose work is in galaxies. Galaxies are the collection of, in the order of 100,000 million stars, which dot our universe. Well, if you look out in the night sky, you will see the band of the Milky Way, which is actually the huge collection of stars in which our own sun is situated. So what Father Jose Funes is interested in, along with colleagues that work with him, is how galaxies have gone through their lifetime. And they have not been isolated from other galaxies. There's been interactions and even mergers, as if one big galaxy has made a meal of smaller galaxies. And the remains or the signs of that in the structure of how galaxies look at the moment. So that's a fascinating study of the history of galaxies in our universe. And Father Jose is using the Vatican telescope here, as well as other telescopes through the world, to explore this.
The church and science, of course, have had a somewhat troubled relationship at times, most famously in the 17th century when the church put Galileo, the astronomer, on trial for heresy for saying that the earth revolved around the sun. Do you believe that there's always destined to be a certain amount of tension between the two?
I think inevitably, yes, that there's going to be some tension between the church and science. Let's say not the church so much as religion or faith and science, because they can seem so different. And in a way, they are. But the importance is, you know, that they are asking a different kind of questions about us and God and the universe. And if one gets the distinction between the question that's asked, then no, there isn't a controversy. But if one is not clear about the distinction, one thinks that one should be dictating to the other. And no, that can't be. They have the separate regime of understanding.
So is it easy for you to keep separate your role on one hand as an astronomer and on the other that as a Catholic priest, say when you're teaching? I mean, you don't find any kind of contradiction at times between your two roles?
No, not at all. There isn't any contradiction when I teach science. I don't suddenly feel that I have to be bringing in some theology. in order to support the science. The science will stand on its own and in its own methodology. And yet, the science will also raise questions that are theological questions that are, and so are answered through theology. So it's the raising of questions is possible, as well as the interaction of one's faith on the way, not so much the method that one does science, but the manner, the integrity of doing science, belief that, yes, the whole universe is rational and understandable because there is a creator. Created in an understandable way. So there is an interaction, and yet there's also a separation in the methodology or the discipline of doing, answering the questions of each theology and of science.
You talked there about creation, and of course there's been quite a lot of controversy in recent years between those who believe in the creationism theory or the intelligent design theory, which is an offshoot of that, or rather Darwin's theory of evolution. And I gather that opinion polls show that a large number of Americans are more inclined to believe in the more literal, shall we say, creationism theory or intelligence design. How do you explain that?
Explain the quite large, it's not a majority, but any quite large adherence to the biblical viewpoint of how everything started as a need for something that's secure, need to be assured of something. In the Catholic Church, our faith seems to be something that is very firm. There is the Bible, and there also is the 2 millennia tradition of people living the faith that is our foundation. Somehow I feel if you just concentrate on the Bible without that sort of background of lived faith so much, then there is a big need to see the words of the Bible as literally true, true exactly in what they say, and that anchors one's own security.
So do you see in some ways your job as helping to bridge the gap between church and science?
Yes, the Vatican Observatory is a bridge between the Catholic Church and the scientific world. It's not the only bridge, because there's the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which is a scientific society in all the sciences that is that bridge. So yes, what the Vatican Observatory shows is that, first of all, there is no conflict between faith and science. But not only that, that's the negative. But also there's an enormous positive and fruitful relationship that is possible between the two when you've sorted out what each the areas are. What's the area of faith and theology, and what's the area of scientific inquiry. And then if you do that, there is an enormous fruitful area.
I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did, and would like to thank Jesuit Father Chris Corbelli for granting Susie Hodges this enlightening interview.